I feel very grateful to be with you this morning. It's been a long time, and there's a lot that I want to share with you. I just want to say thank you, first of all. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the support. We're just very humbled, very grateful. God has answered many of your prayers. We had an offer on our home, and so hopefully our house passes inspection, and then we can actually close August 4th. So and we can move, and it's all real now. It's not that it wasn't before, but and obviously. Rob and Danielle have been just above and beyond, and you know, God has also kind of blessed my healing. It has been a long journey. In fact, it still will be. If you didn't know, I had surgery on my spinal cord, my vertebrae C3 and 4. It was pinching my spinal cord, and so there was a lot of compression. And once it's released, there's still a lot of nerve damage. So I may kind of look normal, but I'm going to have days of good and bad and weakness. And it's probably the most difficult physical, medical journey that I've been on. But keep praying. I'm strong today, and we'll keep going. I'm determined to fight through this and do what I can. My mom, you've been praying also for her. She fell and broke her pelvis. We'll be putting her in a home. We found a place this week. And although that is kind of a sad thing, and she said to us, you know, I've never lived without family in all my life. And so it will be a very emotional time this Thursday as we, I believe it is the best, just because of her needs. She is blind. And then also is very unstable. So thank you for the prayers for that. Thank you also for all of the men that have preached over the last several weeks. I do appreciate you guys did an amazing, amazing job. So we're going to begin a series, as you can see, Seeing and Savoring Jesus. You know, over the summer, we're going to highlight characteristics of Jesus. Some of the stories that we read, the narratives of Jesus in the Gospels. When you think of seeing and savoring, it means we go deeper. That Jesus can't be superficial in our lives. We're going to have some guest speakers. In fact, Neil D'Souza is going to preach next week. And if you know Rachel and Rebecca, that he's going to preach here next. Tony Singh's going to be here over the summer. We're going to have picnics. It'll be a casual setting. The next week, our seating might be a little bit more intimate. You know, looking at each other. And I told the sound guys that this is going to be unplugged. It'll be a little different. So looking forward to it. So when you think of seeing and savoring Jesus, what does that mean to you? Anyone? Intentional? Did someone say food? I'm going to talk about that in a second. It's absolutely right. That's where my mind goes. So just so you know, that's good. Savoring. Enjoying. Taking our time. That's exactly right. I mean, I think most of us know Jesus to some extent. But to enjoy him. Let me just say, there's no topic in my preaching schedule that I enjoy more than talking about Jesus. I'm looking forward to this. I'm moved by this. I'm challenged by this. But I'm also inspired, and I want to inspire you. And yes, when I think of savoring, I do think of food. I don't know if I'm a foodie, but probably. I enjoy international cuisine. We lived in Brampton. East Indian food, all of the different spices, star anise, cardamom, you know, heated up before you actually begin to cook, and all of the aroma, that's, you savor it. West African food, same thing. It's all the way that you cook it. It just is, you take it in. West Indian food, Thai food, all of the spices. Some people ask me, what is your favorite food? It is the food that I am eating at the time. So again, forgive the analogy, but some will ask me, what is your favorite characteristic of Jesus? I got to kind of stand and sit. So just, what is your favorite characteristic of Jesus? Passionate. Compassion. If someone asks me what my favorite trait or character of Jesus, it's probably what I'm looking at. I can't put a finger on what I enjoy more about Jesus. He's multifaceted. He's complex. He's amazing. He's enjoyable. He's sometimes the bar is so unattainable, but yet he wants us to approach him. He wants us to touch him. He wants us to see and savor him, to enjoy him. So let's go ahead and pray. God, we are so humbled, and yet we are so excited that we have a relationship with Jesus. That he came, that he lived. We get to see glimpses of his character and his nature and his heart and his ministry. But God, I pray that as we even begin this summer, that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, that Jesus will become more real, more exciting, more savoring each and every day of our lives. And so bless this time that we can spend. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. To savor means to taste, to enjoy completely, to experience with pleasure and delight, to savor and soak in a moment. And as we look at Jesus, that's what he wants. To soak in the moment. You know, who is Jesus? What is he called? What are the names that he is called by? Emmanuel, which means God with us. What else? Prince of Peace. What does that imply? Peace. What other names? Messiah. Someone said Messiah. What does the Messiah mean? Anointed one. The Christ. Son of Man. That's a great one. Lion of Judah. Lamb of God. What does the Lamb of God imply? Sacrifice. Son of Man. What does that imply? His humanity. He's like us. But it's also beyond that. If you look at the book of Daniel, the Son of Man is this is the prophecy of this of Jesus, the Messiah, who had come. So yes, he's human, but he is kind of beyond that. He is God. See, all of these terms describe Jesus. And what about his nature? What about his character? What draws you to him? What inspires you? What causes you to go, both fall on your knees and go, I love him, I adore him? Or what causes you to fall on your knees and go, I can't do this. I can't. Help me, God, to follow him with all of my heart. His compassion, someone said. You ever think about his strength? Let me just say, Jesus was no wimp. To do the days and to that he did required incredible mental, emotional, and physical strength. And the last day of his life required most. I would have died at the beating, I'm sure. I probably would have died before that, but he was a strong man, strong character. His peace, his ability to be composed in the most difficult situations. I can't imagine, let's pretend I'm Jesus, and you are Jews, but you're challenging me. And he stays composed, he stays convicted, he refuses to compromise. What a character. You know, the interesting thing, his followers spent 3.5 years with him and still didn't get him. Right? So, it means we're on a journey. It means that we are always in a process of trying to understand and appreciate Jesus more. Haven't done this in a while, so I got to get my slides, turn them on, right? And here we go. One of Jesus' closest friends says this in 1 John 1. This we proclaim to you. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and our hands have touched, this is what we proclaim or announce to you. Is it possible to hear without listening? Ask my wife. We've now developed, she says, she'll say, I'm about to say something very important. And I need your full attention. And it's true, because I think I'm listening, but I'm looking at my computer, or I'm looking at my phone. And so it is important. She wants to get my attention. She wants me to hear and listen and understand what she is trying to say. Otherwise, I might hear it, but I don't fully listen to what she is saying. To see without looking, to experience without touching, or being touched. I know this is hard because Jesus can be intangible. so to speak. Like he's not here, right? He's not standing in front of us. He's not. We can't actually hear and touch him per se. But I believe we can. I believe we must. I believe we must be moved. We must find a way that the Jesus of the Scriptures jumps out and we actually touch him, and he touches us. You know, Paul talks about this in Ephesians when he says, you know, I pray that you will have wisdom and revelation to know him better, and the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. What does that mean? He wants somehow for us to know God in a different way, and he prays for them. And I pray for you constantly. I pray for the church constantly. This very prayer, that you have a wisdom and revelation to know him better, so that the eyes of your heart can be enlightened, that you will experience and know Jesus. See, when we see something or someone with our heart, everything changes. Something you love, something that catches your heart, you give your attention to. Your spouse. Some people like cars. Some people like sports. Some people like to work out. Some people like to do whatever it is. When your heart is captured, your attention goes towards it. God wants our attention to be focused on him. When our heart is focused on something, we begin to see things with a different kind of clarity. Things become worthwhile, meaning we understand the worth of it. Again, my point is, with Jesus, the more we explore him, the more we see his worth. You know, I'm constantly reading books about Jesus. And there's several that I've read over the years that just capture my attention. But we've always got to understand and try to appreciate Jesus. When we see Jesus, it's not in religion. It's not in global Christianity. It's in a relationship with him. The heartbeat of Jesus, I wonder if it regulates and pumps through the church. It pumps through our lives. Christianity doesn't reflect the nature and character of Jesus as a whole, generally. Here's the thing. There are many, 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 many critics of Christianity. Very few critics of Jesus. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? My point is, he's who we got to become. And the more we reflect him, the less criticism we will have. Let me just say, the world will always criticize the church. They just will. Because it will have some standards that they don't appreciate. But I think the more we become like Jesus in his character and his nature, the more people will be drawn to, not to us, but to Jesus in us. The world is hungry for meaning, hungry for role models, hungry for authenticity, realness, not fakeness, not hypocrisy. It wants something different. And Jesus is that difference. You know, we're not content. Our world is not content. It's looking for secrets. It's looking for answers. But God is the one, Jesus is the one that we must find answers in. You know, over the last few months, I've wrestled with this. Because I've been burdened. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary. My last few months, it's been weary. I think I'm stronger in my faith. But I tell you, it's been a battle. Burdened, finding rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And those are not simply words that we put on our fridge. And like I said, I've had to wrestle. Why the burdens? Why can't things go quicker than this? We're going to move into a condo. And the morning before, I was weeping. Trying to understand, God, why is all this going on? Why can't things happen quicker? So we go to the appointment with the person at the condo that we're going to move into. And that morning, right before we're going in, I opened my phone and it said, "You have an offer." And I just, it's unbelievable. Again, what I'm saying is I've had to do this. I've had to wrestle with this. I've had to take my yoke off and allow Jesus' yoke to be put on me and find rest. And I know it's not easy because it's not been restful. We've talked to several people over the last several months, and if you were to put our lives over the last few months on a stress meter, Joyce and I would be over the top. But here's the answer. And I have been determined that this will be the answer. Even if we didn't get an offer, I'm determined that this will be my answer. Even if I wrestle physically for a year, two, three, this will be my answer. Even if I have to, the burden of my mom, this will be the answer. It's hard though, isn't it? Are you worn out and exhausted? Do you feel overloaded and weighed down by life? Have you found a place that is safe in Jesus? Burdened, overwhelmed, not at peace. Isn't that what vacations are for? I've thought of it. But here's the thing. I can guarantee. If Joyce and I went on a vacation 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't be at peace. I'd be in the most beautiful of settings. But I'd be thinking of all the things that's going on in life. So we can be on vacation and still not find rest. So going somewhere, I need a vacation. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad. But what I am saying is, Jesus better be your first place to go. Could it be that we are still weary and burdened because we really haven't found, touched, and savored Jesus? This we proclaim. This we proclaim. I can't keep quiet. I can't shut up about this. I've got to let you know that this Jesus has changed my life. I've heard him from the scriptures. I've seen him speak. His teaching is beyond anything that I've ever heard. I've seen him. I've seen how he works in his ministry, how he touches people, how he interacts with people. I have touched him through the scriptures, and I am moved, and now this is who I proclaim to you. Look at his character. Touch him. Touch his hands. Have him make a difference in your life. You know, one of my favorite books is called The Character of Jesus. I actually have one of the early, from 1906. And here's a quote. Jesus is a name, but as a person, he's shadowy and unreal. Our hearts do not feel his power. We're not indifferent to him, but we have no keen sense of loyalty to him, no adoring sense of adoration. And the whole book, as you can imagine, is looking at the character of Jesus. And again, it's an old book, early 1900s. But he writes in a way that is so true today. To be a Christian is to admire Jesus so sincerely and so fervently that our whole life goes out to him in aspiration to be like him. Look at the stars in the sky, and how are you filled? You're filled with awe. You're filled with smallness. You're filled with wonder. But then when you think of your relationship with God, you're filled with adoration. You're filled with praise. You're filled with thanksgiving that this God who created the world, you have a relationship with him. It's the same with Jesus. You know, the heavens may declare the glory of God, but he's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact representation of his being and his nature. So when we see Jesus, we see God. When we see God, we see Jesus. And it's my prayer for you that we see him completely, as much as we can. Again, this is a journey. I don't stand here before you as one who has completely understood the character of Jesus and the nature of Jesus, not at all. I stand as one who humbly loves him and desires him and wants you to see Jesus in me and wants to transform you to see Jesus so I can see him in you. And so with one another, we become a community of Jesus. Amen? So looking at the stars, looking at the ocean, looking at the mountains, not understanding he is the radiance of God. Here's another passage. The God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Christ. You know what that passage is right after? We are all transformed into his nature with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, one of my favorite words is teleos. Teleos is this understanding that we see. It comes from actually from the word telescope. You see in the distance. But the beauty of it is, as you see, you become, you know where you're going. And it is, you haven't quite arrived, but it's a journey to get there. And so this maturity, this idea of maturity in Jesus is teleos, that you grow towards him. You don't arrive fully, but you become more and more like him, more mature like him. And again, our faces reflect. Again, sadly, the church, again, globally, Christianity, does not reflect the face of Jesus. We're more interested in politics. We're more interested in other things. And I think the church needs to be simplified. I think the church just needs to get back to loving Jesus, being transformed and being and understanding his desires, his nature, his character. So my desire this summer is that we see, is that we hear, is that we feel, is that we touch Jesus more and more in a profound way, like never before. And we're reminded of the complexities of his character, of his nature. But like different foods, we will savor, we will enjoy, we will experience with delight his character and his nature. And we will soak up the moments as we hear about him and as we read about him. We will walk with him and he with us. We will look into his face and to his heart, and we will be changed and reflective of him more and more, transformed into his likeness day by day with ever increasing glory. That's my prayer. That's my goal. That's my desire. More importantly, it's not mine. This is God's desire. Let me just put it in perspective. That we grow more and more like Jesus. Amen? You know, we have the privilege to take communion. And what is communion all about? It is. It really is about savoring Jesus. Taking some time to reflect. Taking some time to soak in. And appreciate what he has done for our lives. So this morning, as we take communion, think about what I just said. Think about the Jesus that you have a relationship with. Think about what he has done for you. And savor him as we take communion together. Let's pray. God, we again are so grateful for Jesus. We are grateful for his life, for his character, for his reflection of your heart and your nature. We are humbled that we have a relationship with you, and that all is because of his sacrifice, his love, the blood, and his body that was given for us. God, this morning, we want to savor, enjoy, and thank you for our salvation that is found through the sacrifice of Jesus. Bless this communion that we take together that reflects your body and your blood. We pray in Jesus' name.